Well, I trust that you've had a good week. Before we begin this morning, though, let me invite you to stand with me and take your Bibles and repeat after me, if you will. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, and I want to be like Jesus. Loving Father, what a thrill is ours to assemble together for worship. We want to thank you, Father, for the blessings you bestow upon us, and we ask now that you would be with us in our worship service this morning. Father, we would ask a special blessing for Faith and David, as they bring us a message in song just now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Okay, David and Faith are going to sing for us at this time.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. We are glad to be in your midst today to worship. And our song this morning, the first one, we are going to sing it in Nigerian dialect. And it's a song of praises. Praising God Almighty for His creation. Praising God Almighty for being a healer. Praising God Almighty for Jesus who died for us. Our next song is entitled, I've Been Reading My Bible.
I've been reading my Bible.
I've been reading my Bible. I've been listening to some beautiful stories, and I know that's true of that beautiful country and that city for says. Yes, I wanna go tell them,
and I want to go there. I have heard about heaven,
and I want to go there, where the beautiful flowers blossom one of these days.
I have heard about mansions,
there'll be no more pain. wanna go, tell them,
tell them,
and I want to go there.
I am walking with Jesus, oh so happy I am, for I want a bright mansion far beyond the sky. This a glorious building, this a beautiful state. Yes, I wanna go, tell them,
and I want to go there. I have heard about heaven,
heaven,
and I want to go there, where the beautiful flowers blossom one of these days. I am one of our mansions, there'll be no more pain. And I wanna go
tell them,
and I want to go there. When my journey is over, I'll be ready to go to the city eternal, where the Lord has trod. There'll be no more dying, there'll be no more pain. Yes, I wanna go,
tell them,
and I want to go there. I have heard about heaven,
heaven,
and I want to go there, where the beautiful flowers blossom one of these days.
I have heard about mansions, there'll be no more pain,
and I wanna go tell them,
tell them,
and I want to go there.
I hope you all want to go there too.
Well, that gave you just a little taste of what it might have been like in Nigeria this morning if you were worshiping in one of the churches in that country. I'm so glad to be blessed, you know, the different nationalities we can come together, and by God's grace, as we grow in His grace, it is not that we grow in our differences, but we grow more to be like Jesus, and we look forward to the day when Jesus is going to come. When different peoples come together, different nationalities, but you see the love of Jesus in their hearts, and we can put aside our nationalistic pride and just come together for Jesus. It's absolutely, absolutely wonderful. This morning, this is part one of two sermons that I'm going to present dealing with tithing. I know that there's been questions about this particular topic, and I would like to try to answer some of these questions this morning. To begin with, let me invite you to open your Bibles to the last chapter in the Old Testament. It is the book of Malachi. That's where we're going to begin this morning. The book of Malachi, and I am going to start in the 10th verse. The 10th verse, this is Malachi speaking to us, and in fact, I would encourage you to read the whole book. There's just four chapters. But you see what has happened to ancient Israel and what was taking place in at that particular time, it is almost a parallel what is happening in our world today and even creeping into the church. So read the book. Chapter verse 10 says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open, throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out so many blessings that you will not have room to receive them. Malachi 3:10 is God's command. This is a matter of simple honesty. The tithe is the Lord's, and He bids us to return to Him that which is His own. The text is pretty simple. There are many references in Scripture and counsel from Ellen White regarding the tithe and its use. And the majority of Christians today believe that the law of God and the tithe are still binding. But we have individuals who question this counsel. Where is the storehouse today? And even if I knew, do I have to return my entire tithe there, or can I use my own discretion and return my tithe as I see best? Other questions arise and involve such topics as, what should I do with my tithe if I sincerely believe that those in charge are not capable or responsible in the distribution of the tithe? What if I know of an independent ministry that is doing a good work and I want to support it? Isn't that the gospel? Isn't that gospel ministry? Another question that arises, didn't Ellen White withhold tithe and use it in some other ministry? Now, I want to answer these questions because these are questions that has been put to me since I've been in your church. So my purpose is to share with you what the Bible says and what the Spirit of Prophecy records concerning the subject of tithing. So I'm going to begin with the question, how do we as Seventh-day Adventists apply the biblical counsel to our day? Now, to understand what we should be doing in our day, I have to go back and look at ancient Israel and see what was happening back there. When God delivered Israel from Egypt, once again, He sought to establish His people and He told them about the tithing system and the support of the services that went on in the tabernacle. Now, mankind evidently knew about tithing since the fall and expulsion from the Garden of Eden. The Bible records that Abraham in Genesis 14:20 and Jacob in Genesis 28:22 returned a tithe. A tenth of their increase went back to God. However, when God took His people to the promised land following that great exodus out of Egypt, He spelled out through His servant Moses much more detail on this subject as well as other subjects. For example, according to Leviticus 27:30, the Bible says, a tithe of everything from the land is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Now, according to that text, that the tithe is holy. It means that it is sacred money. Should we mix the sacred and the unclean together? Now, folks, if we were to bring secularism into the church, and that's one of the things that we hear, or we bring worldly things into the church and try to mix that with our worship to God, most people would not be well pleased. So, by God's grace, we try to follow the example that He has given us, and that when we come and worship, it would be a sweet-smelling savor that ascends to our Heavenly Father. In God's plan, the tribe of Levi was not to receive an inheritance and engage in regular work activities as the other 11 tribes. But the tribe of Levi was set aside for religious activities and instruction for the nation. They were to be supported by the tithe and the freewill offerings of others. Now Numbers 18 verses 21 and 24 says, this is the Lord is instructing them, I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work which they do while serving in the tent of meeting. Instead, I give to the Levites as their inheritance the tithes that the Israelites present as an offering to the Lord. That is why I said concerning them, they will have no inheritance among the Israelites. Here's what was happening. They were taken out of Egypt. They were promised that God was going to take them into the promised land. But when they got on the borders of the promised land, God told Moses, this is what you shall tell the people. I have set aside the tribe of Levi as a priestly nation. They will receive no inheritance. But the other 11 tribes that go in, they will receive inheritance. And their inheritance is this whole land, the promised land. But the tribe of Levi, they will receive from you the tithe and the offerings, and these things will be used for their support. And just before the conquest of Canaan, Moses gave this final counsel from the Lord. And this is the substance of the whole book of Deuteronomy. God told his people that in the promised land, they were not to do whatever they thought was right in their own eyes regarding the tithe and offerings, but they were to follow precisely his plan for them. Note his words. And it is so important, I want you to go back to Deuteronomy this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 12. And I want to read to you from God's Word. And I want you to follow along with me, if you will. Now remember, they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And God here is dealing with now worship. In verse 1, he says, these are the decrees and laws you must be careful to follow in the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you to possess as long as you live in the land. Then it went on to talk about, you know, when you get in, there's going to be idol worshippers. There's going to be people who don't know the Creator God. And you are to destroy their altars. You are to break down their Asherah poles. You are then to teach them about me. Now notice what he says in verse 5. Verse 4 says, you must worship the Lord your God in this way, but you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. There bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give, and your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. There, in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your family shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. You are not to do as we do ere today, everyone as he sees fit. In the King James Version, it says, everyone doing what was right in their own eyes. You are not to do as everyone sees fit, since you have not yet reached the resting place and the inheritance the Lord your God has given you. Because you will cross the Jordan and settle in the land the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and he will give you rest from all your enemies around you so that you will live in safety. Then to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, there you are to bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, and all the choice possessions you have vowed to the Lord. and there rejoice before the Lord your God, you, your sons, your daughters, your men servants, your maid servants, and the Levites from your town who have no allotment or inheritance of their own. Be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings anywhere you please. Offer them only at the place the Lord will choose in one of your tribes, and there observe everything I command you. Now, I refer to the above counsel of the of God's law as the storehouse. Now, it's not a place of our own choosing. It is the place that God designates as the storehouse. God did not plan that everyone would do what was right in his own eyes. He had a special plan, a specific plan, and he expected his people to follow it. Listen, church. God means what he says in regard to the support of his work. Israel, as well as we, are to bring into his treasury the tithe and the offerings. Amen? This is clearly shown in Scripture. As Israel prepared to capture Jericho, according to the directions given them from God, and you know the story, the routine of marching around that city. Now note what Joshua told Israel to do. Go to Joshua, if you will. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, verse 19. Everybody have it? Joshua chapter 6, verse 19. Well, let me start in verse 17. The city and all that is in it are devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring disaster on it. Now look at verse 19. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. Verse 19. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are, how does it say in the King James Version? Consecrated. They are holy to the Lord and must go where? In the storehouse. In the treasury. After the conquest, the Bible says, down in verse 24, then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. All Israel followed these divine instructions with the exception of one man, Achan. Because of Achan's disobedience, 36 Israelites were killed up there at Ai. And when Joshua inquired of the Lord what the problem was, he was told that someone had disobeyed and had kept some portion of that which should have been brought into his treasury. Now notice what Joshua said in chapter 7. Verses 10 through 13. The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face?" Basically, what God is telling Joshua, he says, there is a time to pray, but then there's a time to get up and work. Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turned their backs and ran because they had made liable. They had been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Have mercy. And so we see the faith of Achan. In chapter 7, down in verse 24. Yeah, down in verse 20. This is good stuff, the whole story. It says, Achan replied, starting in verse 20. Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against God, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. And he goes on to tell how he took the gold and the silver and that coat. He coveted them, he said, and he hid them in the ground in the middle of his tent. And down in verse 24, then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkey and sheep, his tent, and all that he had to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, why have you brought this disaster on us? The Lord will bring disaster on you today. Then all Israel stoned them, and after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan, they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, that place had been called the Valley of Achor ever since. Now, folks, that had been some kind of object lesson for ancient Israel for disobeying God, don't you think? The first fruits, God says, belongs to me. Folks, I want to tell you, because of God's mercy, please don't trifle with God. There's a judgment that's coming. Let me briefly recall another experience and a whole different attitude. It was David, king of Israel. Evidently, it was his practice to follow the counsel of God as outlined in Deuteronomy chapter 12. He states in Psalm 66:13, David says, I will go into your house with burnt offerings, and I will pay my vows. I will bring my tithe and offerings. And again, when contemplating God's goodness, he states in Psalm 116, turn there with me, Psalm 116. Verses 12 through 14, then 18 and 19. David begins in verse 12. He says, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will vow my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Then down in verse 17, he says, I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call upon the name of the Lord. I will vow my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. David did not send his tithe somewhere else. He took it as an act of worship, and in obedience to God's command, he took it to God's house where God's people were, in the courts of the Lord's house. David was so inspired by God's goodness, he decided to build him a temple, a mighty temple. But because he was a man of war, he was not permitted to build a temple. But he drew the plans, and he gathered... Solomon, your son, is the one who will build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Later, as Solomon was building the temple, God said to him, "As for this temple you are building, if you follow my decrees and carry out my regulations and keep all my commands and obey them, I will fulfill through you the promise I gave David your father, and I will live among the Israelites, and I will not abandon my people Israel." Now, the promise that God made later to ancient Israel, he says, "Bring all your tithes into the storehouse, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings." You want blessings from the Lord? You keep his statutes, you keep his commands, you follow in his footsteps. You know, God even told Isaiah, the gospel prophet, and foreigners, they were non-Israelites, and foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices, those things that were commanded back in Deuteronomy chapter 12, the burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Isaiah 56, verses 6 and 7. Israel prospered when they obeyed God, and they fell on hard times when they didn't. But as you read the Old Testament, it seems that Israel followed this vicious cycle. They were obedient, and then they were disobedient. They were obedient, and then they were disobedient. They were obedient, and God blessed them. And they were disobedient, and God withdrew his protection from them. It was during one of those periods of unfaithfulness that God, through the prophet Malachi, once again invited his people to return to him. He says, "Return to me, and I will return to you." And the people said, "In what way shall we return?" And God essentially answered the question by saying, "Stop robbing me." In fact, Malachi, to quote Malachi, "Because you are robbing me, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Not just one man like Achan did way back there, but now the whole nation was led into apostasy, and God is telling them to come back, bring all the tithe, the whole tithe, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now, wherewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows, and you're going to receive blessings, and you're not going to have room enough to receive them. So what have we learned this morning about tithe and offerings? The first thing we learned is the tithe does not belong to us. It's the Lord's. It is holy. You know, God wanted to do really two things. He wanted to use the tithe to support the tribe of Levi. He wanted also to use the tithe to cut away the selfishness that had grown within. You know, to sit down when you receive your paycheck or the first fruits and not let selfishness rule, but to take the very best right off the top and give it to God. You see, to trust Him, it does something for us. The second thing we learned is that we are to follow God's plan precisely in regard to our tithe and offerings. In Old Testament times, the temple was the storehouse from which the priests and the Levites were paid. Today, the equivalent would be the conference office from which the pastors are paid. Third, the tithe is to be used as God directed to support the ministry. God says the tithe is used as Levites, or the tribe of Levites, that is their inheritance. You can have all the land, but a tenth of everything that you grow, a tenth of everything, me first, is the tenth of everything is mine. You bring it to the tribe of Levi. According to Arthur White, grandson and biographer of Ellen White, and Arthur White was secretary of the White Estates for 41 years. Here's what he said. Nothing is plainer in the E.G. White writings than the instruction concerning the faithful payment of tithe and the fact that it is reserved for the support of the ministry. That's from the book Ellen White's Biography, Volume 5, page 390. God impressed Ellen White with the seriousness of the tithe by making the duty so plain, and she associated with a covenant relationship with God. Now, I have a relationship with my wife. But if I break that covenant relationship, is there happiness? No, not in our house. Now, I have a relationship with my God. And God says, the tenth, the first fruits, is mine. You bring it. And He says, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings. And I want to tell you, folks, I have practiced, I've been a faithful tither since I've become a Seventh-day Adventist. And God has blessed us. God has blessed us because of being faithful. Now listen to what she said. I want to read about this covenant relationship. She writes in the Review and Herald, December the 3rd, 1901. Listen to what she says. He who gave his only begotten Son to die for you has made a covenant with you. What is a covenant?
Contract.
It's a contract. He gives you his blessings, and in return, he requires you to bring to him your tithes and offerings. No one will ever dare to say that there was no way in which he could understand in regard to this matter. Let me read that again. No one will ever dare to say that there was no way in which he could understand in regard to this matter. God's plan regarding tithes and offerings is definitely stated in the third chapter of Malachi. God calls upon his human agents to be true to the contract he has made with them. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse, he says, that there may be meat in mine house. One of the most comprehensive storehouse references contains four names for the storehouse. Thus, when I read it, you will have absolutely no doubt where God's storehouse is today. From the Review and Herald, December 8, 1896. The Lord declares that what a man sows, he shall also reap. Shall we not then by our good works seek to sow the very best quality of seed? In the last days, now listen to this. This is good stuff. In the last days of the whole year, shall we not make our account right with God by bringing all the tithes into his storehouse? Will any venture longer to rob God in tithes and offerings? She's not talking about ancient Israel. She's talking about us. Will any venture longer to rob God in tithes and offerings in the coming holidays? Listen to this now. In the coming holidays, let our gifts not be to one another, but to the house of God, that there may be, he says, meat in mine house. In place of spending our time and meaning in getting up something to surprise and gratify our friends, shall we not return all our offerings to God's treasury? Shall we not make a thank offering to the Lord? While those who profess to be Christians see this matter in its true bearing, will they awake to a sense of their obligation to God and render to Him His own? End of the quote. Notice what she said. Bring it into His storehouse. Bring it to the house of God. Bring it to mine house. Bring it to my treasury. That's a unique paragraph, isn't it? The house of God, my house, God's treasury, his storehouse. They are all used interchangeably. All four of them are one and the same thing. Folks, there is no evidence in the Bible or the spirit of prophecy that the storehouse is any other place than what the Scripture states. It is the true place. It is the place from which the pastors are paid. The conference treasury that receives the tithes from the local churches where they are returned by the church members. She makes it pretty plain. If indeed the location of the storehouse is so plain, why do folks seem to have such a difficult time in finding it? Malachi had specified that the condition of prosperity depends upon bringing to God's treasury that which is own. That which is own. Testimonies to Ministers 305. The principle, that of returning tithes and offerings, needs to be brought before men who are lax in their duty to God and who are neglectful and careless in bringing their tithes, gifts, and offerings to God. She says, please read the whole chapter of Malachi 3 and see if words could be spoken that would be more plain and positive than these. They are so positive that no one who desires to understand his whole duty to God needs to make any mistake in the matter. If men offer any excuse as to why they do not perform this duty, it is because they are selfish and have not the love and fear of God in their hearts. End of the quote. Folks, I'm not saying it. Our prophet is saying it to us. We have a tendency to consider that some sins are much more hideous than others. We think murder is a terrible thing. Maybe spousal abuse or child abuse or even adultery. And these sins hit the top of the list as far as trouble is concerned. But do you know what is the list as far as God is concerned? Listen to this. Counsels on Stewardship, page 86. To defraud God. To defraud whom? To defraud God is the greatest crime of which men can be guilty. And yet this sin is deep and widespread. More hideous than murder, adultery, and some of the wicked things that's happening out there today, to defraud God of his tithe and offerings. Folks, tithe is not a gray area in Scripture or the spirit of prophecy. God wants all his stewards to be exact in following his divine arrangements. They are not to offset the Lord's plan with some deed of charity, some gift or some offering done or given when and how the human agent shall see fit. God has made his plan known, and all who cooperate with him will carry out his plan instead of daring to attempt to improve upon it by their own arrangements. God will honor them and open the windows of heaven and pour us out blessings such as there will not be room enough to receive. That was printed in the little book, That I May Know Him, page 221. From Ellen White's perspective, one of the major reasons for church organization was so that there could be a qualified and paid ministerial force to carry on the work of the church and leadership. The tithe was to be returned to God's treasury so that the ministry could be supported, and also to provide a reserve fund that additional workers could be added by the providence of God when he decided to open new fields. Now, folks, if God's treasury is lacking and the work can't go forward, we're the ones to blame. Let me close this morning by using a quote from the sixth volume of the Testimonies, page 446. The last years of probation are fast closing. The great day of the Lord is at hand. We should now make every effort to arouse our people. Let the words of the Lord by the prophet Malachi be brought home to every soul. Will a man rob God? How have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there will be meat in mine house, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings, that you will not have room enough to receive it. I trust as you meditate upon what I shared with you this morning from Scripture and the Spirit of prophecy, that you will allow the Holy Spirit again to speak to your hearts. And if you are faithful, God bless you. But if you are not, I encourage you to do so, because you are missing great blessings from God Almighty. And folks, I want to tell you also from experience, and you can ask anyone who has been faithful in their tithe and offerings, that the 90% with God's blessings will go further than the 100% without that. God will open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings. In fact, if you continue on to the chapter, he says he has stopped the pest from eating your plants when you sow them. He will even protect your fields. God will take care of his people. Let us be faithful. What do you say?
Amen. Amen.